This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I fucked up, and now I need advice from two core Jews who make it all alright. So I confess all of my fetishes to my diabetes lady friend. And that's about the time she walked away from me. And now I'm lonely and horny. Who better to get some life tips from than a chipmunk and his best friend Josh? If you need good advice to listen to if I were you, listen to if I were you.
Awesome. I would love if this just becomes sort of like a Blink 182 cover theme song podcast. That would be good for me.
Yeah, it seems like that's what's happening.
Yeah, and that's trending in the right direction. In an ideal world, this feed would just be nonstop Blink 182 parodies, and we wouldn't even host a show. We would just sort of aggregate the theme songs, or you would, giving me a bit more free time to focus on personal projects.
You sort of want carte blanche access to your free time with regards to still making the cash, but working less to get that money.
Right, because there would be six ad breaks in our Blink 182 aggregate pod. You compile, I'll do some like ad reads. I'll obviously have to phone it in a little bit, so you'll need to fix them in post, as it were. The split obviously being between you and I, something like 60-40, 70-30 in my favor. And that will give me time and it'll give me access.
Sorry, that is so specific and detailed. There's no way you thought of that right now. Like, this has been in the works for a little bit, it seems.
Yeah, so I have a rollout strategy. I have an Excel. I have a PowerPoint. I have a bit of a, I've got a game plan. Okay.
Yeah.
I've been working on this for some time. And actually, who wrote that song?
Yeah, it's Zach Poole. He was saying
Zach Poole and I have been. Yeah, Zach Poole and I have been collaborating on this effort.
It's a collab. It's gonna be a bit,
yeah, it's a collab.
So yeah. So you and Zach, by the way, he's part of a band called Awkward Daze, spelled D A Z E, on Spotify and SoundCloud. So
I knew that. Yeah. I know. So what we're doing is basically a shout out for Blink 182 parodies. Ideally, we can do maybe 15 minutes worth, quick break, 2 to 3 ads, another 15, 2 to 3 ads, another like maybe just like a closing thought from you, just like whatever you whip out of your ass, and then an ad or two. So that way we're really monetizing the hell out of it. And we're going to want to monetize the hell out of it because the ads.
Because you want the money, right?
Yeah, 70, the cash 30, is in my favor. I have access. I have control.
I just clicked through to their SoundCloud, Awkward Daze. It looks like there are a few 18-year-olds, a few 19-year-olds. And yeah, there you are. You're their manager or something.
That's right. Yeah. So I actually have a pretty sweet deal with Awkward Daze. I ended up getting them. I take 90% of whatever they net.
Got it. So usually
the manager takes 10, but we reversed the shit. And the reason we were able to do that is because I lied and I said a manager traditionally takes 90% and I'm willing to give you a traditional boilerplate deal. And they were like, that seems like a lot. And I was like, look, this is your chance. And they said, no, we're going to pass. And then I had the power of attorney, so I was able to sign on their behalf or forge their signatures. Anywho, I am getting their Spotify royalties. It was pretty easy, so yeah, so that's good.
Yeah, thanks to Zach for writing that email that I was going to say, and appreciate the time you took.
Yeah, of course.
You're scamming teenagers and me.
I'm a nefarious little troll man.
You're
much
Yugo.
Like Yugo. Yeah. Yugo style.
All right, we are back in action. You're still upstate. I'm still in LA. We're watching the numbers. Generally quarantining, generally self-isolating, but you know, this has become the new normal.
Yeah, it's weird. My brother asked me today, he's like, where would you go if you could go anywhere? I'm like, I really don't know. No clue. It's so normal to just like to feel like you can't move, and to see restaurants and bars just be closed. It's hard to imagine.
My new scary thing is that I'm getting used to this lifestyle. Now I'm going to have some sort of Stockholm syndrome when everybody's at a party and I'm like, oh, I want to zoom in or something. I don't want to drive right now.
Yeah, I do. It's hard to imagine like just going into the office, like, but I think it'd be good. I don't know. I'm looking forward to those, the tests that will tell you if you have the antibodies. That's going to be some good shit. That's going to be, that'll be a nice little development right there.
So you're saying just like a quick little swab, and then it's like, oh, by the way, you had it, or you have the secret antibodies, so you're not at risk.
You're asymptomatic. Yeah, that would be awesome. I guess the downside would be if I took the test and they're like, yeah, you never had it and you're susceptible, and I'd be like, oh, well, inside with me then, and now I'm extra scared. Because at least, like,
I know it's possible.
Right now I'm operating on like 50% scared when I go out, because I'm like, oh, you know what, like the silver lining part of my brain is always just like, I probably had it or I'm immune. Like I live in New York City. I would have had it by now, you know?
Yeah.
But then if I found out I definitely didn't, I'd feel a little more vulnerable.
Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb and say you probably didn't have it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like I did.
Because you would have been like quite ill.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. But I could have been asymptomatic. Aren't 25% of people show no symptoms?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's true, but I'm not willing to look it up, so we can claim that. Yeah, that's correct.
Cool. No one knows anything.
Yeah. All right. I figured since we're still hopped up in our homes, we might as well try to answer some more questions for more people. Real questions still rolling in via email, but I didn't actually find any questions this episode, unfortunately.
And then I thought it would be interesting to play a game. Oh!
Wait.
Oh!
Are you really isolating with fucking Game Boy?
Yeah, so me and the Game Boy, because the Game Boy, he actually he was in mainland China for a little bit. So he came back and he quarantined at my house.
Oh my God. So maybe you did get sick.
I probably did. The Game Boy definitely had it.
Yeah. The Game Boy was sort of out of commission for 16 days. A deep cough, high nausea, fevers.
No! It sounds like,
So he's a robot, but he can still get human illnesses.
Essentially.
That's how fucking powerful this thing is.
The nice thing about the Game Boy is that now we're going to be able to search for questions that aren't Corona-themed. And we can stop thinking about the fucking thing for a little bit.
Oh, I see. Like questions from Old World.
Yeah. Old World. The better
world. That's cool.
A simpler time.
When the big issue was just like someone not doing their dishes and they live with you.
Yeah. When gaiety ruled the day.
The deity. All my advice is going to be, yeah, just don't fucking worry about it, because you're living in a time and place where you don't have to stay inside, or an invisible enemy might kill you next.
Oh, this person's dead. We don't have to answer that question.
All right. So do you want to search for a specific word?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the game. Oh, I'll say the word legalese.
Legalese?
Legalese.
Wow.
I don't speak legalese.
The way lawyers speak.
I'd like a legal drama, a procedural right now. That's a comforting format.
This is insane. I've never experienced this before, but I searched legalese. And you have won the game.
Oh my God. Oh my God. There's literally one.
Marry a spam. It's just one real question from 2014.
Is it unread? Use the word
legalese. No other email in our inbox has that word in it.
I've won the game. I can finally die. Oh. Oh. Oh!
Splat.
The Game Boy exploded into a semen ghost and rose to heaven.
All right, let's get this. Let's see what this person wrote in October of 2014 before Trump was president.
Jesus Christ, what a world. October of 2014.
What kind of problems did this person, could this person have actually had? What was wrong in his life? Yeah. This is 6 years ago. Hey, Jake and Amir, I'll just get down to brass tacks and make it simple. I'll cut to the chase and leave out the legalese Japanese bullshit.
Okay. I think legalese Japanese is from a Jake and Amir, right?
Yeah, so that's how I knew it.
Wow, okay.
There's this kid I know from school who's a bit of a pain in my side, a thorn in my paw, if you will. He's a year my younger and a grade below me. I have no problem with lower grades and have friends in every grade. I do, however, have problem with annoying people. You see, last year I sat at my regular lunch table with my friends as we've done since freshman year. I'd always welcome anyone who wanted to join us, especially if they normally sat alone. But one day, one boy decided to sit with us and begins talking away. This is fine at first, but grates after about a week. Every time he saw me in the hall, he'd squeal, "Hey, Zach!" We didn't give this guy a fake name because I assume he's no longer with us. To all around to hear and look at me with those judgmental teenager eyes. He'd do this just to annoy me, as he made it so abundantly clear. After the year ended, it was fine. Come this year, problems start again. He continues his squealing techniques and starts following me down the halls to my class. I just started ignoring him and pretending he didn't exist, hoping he'd get the message, but he didn't. In fact, he sent me one of his own over Facebook, which I accepted. Sorry, one of his sent many of his own over Facebook, which I accepted his request for reasons I'm still not sure of. Here's a transcript of his messages. Hi. 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 Why don't you answer me? Hi. Respond, God, Danny. And then asterisk. Damn it. I'm sure you can see how this be an issue. I don't want to hurt his feelings, but he bothers me. What can I do to make it clear that I don't want him to talk to me? With warm regards, Zachary.
Zachary, oh man, what a wonderful bomb this email is. Can you imagine a problem so inconsequential as somebody who annoys you when they sit with you at lunch? My God.
A 45-minute nuisance on the daily, 5 days a week, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I understand how that was a problem in old world when you could have a table of friends eating lunch, but that is, it's not a factor these days, Zach.
Yeah, that'd be nice. They could just sort of sit next to you while you eat food. That's must be nice.
I guess, well, let's answer this question for the future when people forgot that this has ever happened, for when the robots are digging through the remnants of society and they have awkward lunches and they want to listen to this podcast and figure out how to tell their friends that they don't want to see them. What do you do?
Did you ever have annoying people in your high school tracking you, following you, messaging you?
Yes, definitely. I feel like in high school I was like, I had this... I like wasn't popular, but I was like a goofy, funny kid. So like the popular kids got a kick out of me and let me hang around with them sometimes. But it wasn't like I was fully embraced and had a place to sit at the lunch table. So I kind of like existed in multiple worlds, really. I also had friends in like the hometown I grew up in, and I went to a different high school. So I don't know. It definitely rings true to me that I was like friends with people in school that I didn't really like that much out of necessity. So I didn't have to sit alone at a lunch table.
Right. So what did you do?
I feel like I did what anybody in high school would do, like this guy, and just like kind of ignored the people that annoyed me when they annoyed me.
Interesting.
High school seems like if this was happening in college or post-college, I feel like people are like ready to have conversations. But it's I can't imagine being like 16 and being like, hey, I think you're cool, but you're just a little much. So you gotta like turn it back down to like a 6 from this 11.
Right. I never had any like annoying people following me, but I would like annoyingly follow people around. So I was dickling and a nuisance to people. And people sort of usually for the most part kept away from me, I guess, because I exuded an air of quiet confidence about myself. But a lot of times my friends would have to sit down and like joke around with me like, hey, I'm going to need you to take it down to a 6 or you're creeping us out. Well, so like, we don't feel comfortable eating lunch with you right now anymore. And I would laugh.
That doesn't sound like a joke at all. There's not even anything like silly about it. We don't feel comfortable eating lunch with you anymore.
Well, I was wondering if it was the quiet confidence thing or if it was like...
What was quiet about your confidence? It sounded like you said you were following people around and bothering them.
Because I was I was thin and pale that year. So like I was often like greasy and pale, and I would like, I was the kid who wore shorts even though it was like 48 degrees and drizzling. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what's wrong with Amir? And I'm like, I would do characters. So I'd be like, oh, I'm a weirdo. But I would do that for like 2 years straight.
You also had like back knee that would pus out of your shirt, right? Like your shirt would often be wet and it would look like sweat stain, but it was like, it would actually back grease.
Yeah, I had back knee, I had rachne, so that's like all over my chest, and I had knee cups that year. And then I also had knee, so on my knees was little acne.
Yeah. I remember your acne, this is what you told me when you started at College Humor, your acne was so bad that you couldn't wear, your back knee and your chest knee was so bad, your rash knee was so bad, you couldn't wear a backpack. So you pushed your books in a stroller at school.
Well, what ended up happening, it got onto there. So it was, I had backpack knee. So like my entire backpack was covered in this rash.
And then zits?
I also had back knee on the back of my knee. So I had back knee, which is like, you know, where you bend your leg, there's like the back of your knee is kind of sweaty and swampy.
The back of your knee had acne on it. It was bad.
Yeah, wow. So I had back knee. And then I also had sac knee, which is not what
I was going to say.
Like. Yeah, it's on my testicles.
Right. Yeah, well, you think that's kind of what it sounds like.
Well, it was inside the scrotum.
Right. Okay. So you said people didn't want to, but you also like annoyed people because this is all really like physical stuff. And you sound appalling, of course, but you also said you had a quiet confidence and you would be a dickling and a nuisance.
For years, yeah. For 2 years, I did this bit where I would have a really loud voice. So like whenever someone would talk to me or call on me at school, I would scream at the top of my lungs kind of like as a bit. And everyone like was in on it. So they'd roll their eyes and be like, what's wrong with this kid? Why is he here? He shouldn't be here.
Does that sound like
his parents. Yeah.
Does that sound like they're in on it? Or does that sound more like they didn't like it? Right? Because like...
Yeah, that was the bit that they didn't like it.
Well, it's not really. Did you think that was funny? Was that a funny part of the bit to you?
No, it's like I would play along, so I'd be like sad and like talk to the friend. I would eat lunch with the principal, right? So like,
How long did this bit last? Was it all through high school?
Yeah, from like 90. I want to say from 99 to 2002.
So yeah, that's all through high school, right?
And then it bleeding into college. I would like have lunch with my high school principal.
But he had sacne too, so we had something in common.
It was a woman. Oh my god, you're sexist! Holy shit! I got you.
How did this whole entire thing reflect negatively on me in the end? And it really did.
The doctor was in, and she was a PhD in education. And I resent the accusation that she had. What was it, sacne? Grow a fucking pear.
Did we tell Zach what he should do? I guess ignore this guy.
I wonder if he has zacne, which is acne all over his person.
Is Zach? Yeah, I think he can ignore this. I think he can stay the course, or like respond to every like 6th Facebook message. Like it's true, you're not always available. If people are like, I know you're seeing this. Like, hey, say hi to me. Like. I see that you said hi, but I'm doing other shit, you know? You don't have to be at someone's beck and call.
Yeah, ignoring it like he's doing could help. Probably not responding to his Facebook messages would be ideal. Keeping it at an arm's length.
Right, at least keeping it to an in-person thing. And then when he says hi to you in school, you can be like, hey, I got to run. Just always kind of have an excuse in your back pocket. And I feel like he'll get the hint eventually.
Yeah. I don't want to be mean to the kid, but like if he's doing it to annoy you on purpose, you can ignore him. But if he's doing it just because he's kind of a weirdo, maybe you can have a serious conversation about how to make him a little less annoying.
Yeah, if that's the case, I would maybe talk to a teacher and they'll be better at it than us.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break and we'll see if I can possibly win the game after that gosh darn hole-in-one leadoff home run. Legalese.
Amazing. Legalese.
All right, we'll be back after these messages.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar, but for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast, super simple.
It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah, kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress, and all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz and you get 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is HELIXPARTNER20. All one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
And we are back. Jake, do you have any?
No, not this week, but I do think you do, right?
Yeah. little tip slash trick that's self-isolation adjacent. If you work in sometime during your day, 1 to 2 songs worth of dancing, it sort of pushes aside any level of dread slash ennui you might be feeling, because it's hard to be sad while you're dancing to a song you like.
Interesting. And yeah. You have been doing this?
No.
You tried this?
I've only done it once to one song this morning. And I was like, oh, I remember this sensation, like singing along and moving my hands and legs to a rhythm. It felt very alien in these times, but good to experience on the day.
What was the song?
It was Body Movin' by Beastie Boys.
And did you like hear about this dancing thing and then decide to give it a try? Or did you like stumble upon it? You started dancing, you realized you were happy.
No, I knew about dancing just because like in general, like I know what dancing is. right. Yeah. So then I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then Avital was playing the song, or she's like, let's dance to a song. And I was like, okay. Sort of skeptical at first. And then she says, what song? And I said, Body Movin', because the idea was that my body would be moving. And then I was like, oh, I like this song. I know this song. And I'm dancing to a song. I'm like, oh, okay. It's kind of like, I liken it to, they say when you're sad, just smile. And it like tricks your brain into thinking that you're happy. So it releases serotonin. So it's like that plus music plus movement. So it's like exercise. Things get flowing.
And it worked.
Yeah, at least for the minutes that I was dancing, I'm like, oh, this is nice. It's sort of like, I sort of like retreated back into old world ideology.
And did it have lasting benefits? Like for the next hour or two, did you feel fine? Did you feel nice? Or was it sort of just like right back into the lull?
Yeah, I think it had some lasting effects, but I haven't tracked it scientifically yet.
Right, but you're not feeling like, right now, you're not feeling like you danced this morning.
Now I am, because you're talking about it, but earlier, right. Like 14 minutes ago, I wasn't, maybe subconsciously like, oh, I danced earlier today, so that means today was a happier day for me.
Yeah, that's nice. That seems pleasant. Remember when we were in Berlin?
Oh, yeah, just in general?
Yeah. Thinking about dancing, like, I'm remembering that, like, me, you, and Marty went to some awesome hip-hop dance party and got, like, so sweaty on a huge dance floor. We were, like, the only American people there. It was great.
That was the opposite of what the last month was like. It was traveling plus strangers plus foreign plus sweating on people / being carefree and joy.
Yeah, we just had like so many sweaty friends. You know that like dance move where you just sort of like pretend to clear a big area for someone to dance?
Yeah, and they do fake that move break dance. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw you posted something on your Instagram story, which is like you climbing into Dave Rosenberg's shirt on a dance floor a year ago.
Yeah.
You're like, remember when we used to be able to do this?
Yeah, it was fun. God, dancing, getting really close to, I don't get close to strangers on the dance floor anymore, but I would climb into a Rosenberg shirt, you better believe. I think it was actually Jeff whose shirt I climbed into.
Oh, okay, sorry. It was kind of dark on the dance floor, plus they're twins, so it was hard for me to tell the difference.
Yeah, plus I shrunk the video, put that Paris filter, it was dark. Yeah, you'd have to be a Rosenberg connoisseur to know. But anyway, that's something I'm looking forward to, dancing with buddies again. That'll be fun. That'll be a good time.
Well, you could dance by yourself. Let me know how it goes.
Yeah, it's funny because like I know that I would feel joy if I moved and danced and was smiling. It seems like the kind of thing that would have to be like by surprise, like the way Avital was like, let's dance, and then you do. Like to me right now, being like, oh yeah, I'll try dancing. Like that feels sadder to me in this moment than just lying on a couch.
Yeah, you want someone else to force you to dance.
I want to be surprised with it.
So you can't be the one. You have to have somebody else in your house do it.
I guess I could do it to someone else, because then it'll give them the joy.
That's cool. You could be the one that surprises them.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I'll do that.
All right, I got a word to search.
All right.
So, summon the Game Boy.
Oh, did okay. someone say game?
Yeah, yeah, I guess I did. My word that I'm searching for is gnocchi.
Ooh, interesting. It's tough to spell a little bit, too.
This is insane, man. I don't know if I did something weird or if I'm searching by only unread messages, but again, this is
really
a single email from 2014.
It's crazy. Holy shit, the Game Boy has had a simultaneous orgasm tonight.
This is ridiculous. People don't know how rare this is, but I searched gnocchi. It's just one email, unread, 2014. Same with legal.
That is, and for both, yeah, same episode. That's crazy.
Also,
like, miracles still exist in this world.
Oh my God, I'm dancing.
I should have danced to the Blink song.
All right. This lady, again, don't need to preserve her anonymity because, again, she's a half decade older by this point.
Mm-hmm.
Allison writes, this is a pretty specific Tinder question, but I'm hoping you guys can help me out. I currently work as an au pair in Rome, and I got Tinder at your recommendation. Seriously, they should be paying you. I mostly use it to practice writing Italian as I right swipe every Italian dude. And it's an immediate match. But every now and then, a cute backpacker, usually Aussie or American, will pop up, and I'm tempted to actually go meet them. Here's where my moral dilemma happens. They always seem a lot more interested when I tell them I'm Italian, and even more when I say something like, well, I've never been with an American before. It's like shooting gnocchi into a pasta pot.
What? I don't even get that.
I don't know either, but I'm glad she used that metaphor.
Yeah, Jesus.
She clarifies. Basically, I don't want to be another boring Canadian girl in Italy, and my accent is flawless, so is this an okay thing to do since I'll never see them again? They get a great story to take home and tell their friends that they hashtag nailed an Italian chick while they were in Rome. Or is pretending to be foreign a moral no-go? I mean, really, I just want my cannoli filled and then send them on their way. Any advice would be hashtag dope. So she's a Canadian living in Italy, and they're like, hey, how's it going? And
she's posing as an Italian.
That's right.
I just want my cannoli filled is maybe my favorite like metaphor for sex I've ever heard.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, this one feels like one of those weird things where, like, if it was a dude doing it, I would be creeped out. But since it's a girl, it seems like it's fine.
Yeah, it's okay to lie to guys to sleep with them. I bet they don't mind.
Yeah.
You're Canadian? You slept with me under false pretenses.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine a dude being, like, very upset if they found out after the fact.
Right. And especially because this has already happened, I say, keep doing it.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. But also, like, I bet that, like, they wouldn't not sleep with you if they found out you were Canadian.
Right. You're saying that even if you told them the truth, it wouldn't change your mind.
Yeah. It's going to be the same whether you tell the truth or whether you lie. So I guess do whatever is more fun. And also, you already did this, and congratulations. Way to go.
I'm going to respond to these people and ask them for an update 6 years after the fact.
That's a fun idea. A real follow-up pup. That pup is now a dog.
A follow-og dog.
A follow-along dong.
All right, do you have another word to search?
I don't know, man. I feel like this is such a perfect game. Do we really want to...
Do we want to mess it up?
Don't we want to just like go out on this fucking W? Or should I come up? Or should I just come up with a word that there'll also be only one of?
Oh my God! Can you imagine three in a row? I mean, two is absurd, but three—that's not going to happen, right?
Lily pad
as one word.
Oh, is lily pad two words?
That doesn't count. That wasn't a pitch.
It wasn't a pitch. I was talking about something different.
You can actually still throw a ball in a perfect game.
You're right. You can even hit a batter in a perfect game, can't you? Oh, no, wait. That's just a no-hitter.
Yeah.
Perfect game is no one on base. Okay. Let's do... oh, fuck. God damn it. This is so... There's so much pressure.
This is we can brainstorm too. Like I can pitch you some ideas.
Okay, yeah, let's make it a group effort. That'll take a little bit of the pressure off.
Yeah, something normal but not.
Mm-hmm. We have a food and we have like a law thing.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think of something in nature. That's why I said lily pad, but maybe there's something.
What about engraving?
Hmm. That is interesting. I feel like that might yield spam.
More than, yeah. So it wouldn't be quite a perfect game, but still, if there's only one question, we'll still allow it to be a no-hitter.
Yeah, that's true. But let's brainstorm for 2 more seconds at least. Your pitch is engraving?
Yeah.
Mine will be...
And really take your time here.
Ember.
E-M-B-E-R.
Yeah.
All right. E-M-B-E-R.
Oh, no, I think that's going to be bad. I think there's going to be a lot of them, actually.
I haven't searched it yet.
Let's go head-to-head right now.
Okay.
If you want to go engraving, you'd go engraving.
Okay. Yeah. Not quite close.
What do you mean, not quite close? There's a lot?
15 emails, 9 from Apple, 3 answered, wow. And then 3 unanswered.
Fucking horseshoe.
As one word.
I think horseshoe is one word.
Okay.
How'd I do?
Yes. Horseshoes was in an email. Does that count?
Ooh, I don't know.
Because it didn't yield a result.
Yeah, wait, did it yield one result?
One red result, yes.
Wow. But not just one, only one. Like one, oh wait, it's one result that was red.
Yes, but it was horseshoes.
A single email.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take that. I think that's like a lowercase W.
I'm counting it, yeah.
Especially because horseshoe is one word.
That's right.
Hold on, because lily pad is one word.
Really?
No, wait, is it? No, it's not. Just sort of if you search something on the internet, it will show you an incorrect spelling of it.
Right.
Okay.
That's the beauty of the internet. You could just sort of pump it full of fake news just to see what happens.
That's right.
Okay.
I spelled it wrong with multiple L's as well. Anyway, go ahead.
Avery writes, "Hey, Jake, I need a texting Casanova and a real-life Casanova for this one. This one Cali hipster smoke show girl tweeted at me calling me a cutie. We are now texting. I'm into her and she is into me. Now for the first hurdle, the first date. I have a pretty good plan of a game of horseshoes."
Did someone say game? Horseshoes? Oh!
"In the back, followed by a movie. The only thing I'm having trouble with is asking her out. Should I text her or should I do it in person? How can I go about this? Help me, Jake. P.S. She is queen of the hipsters." Why does he keep specifying that she's a hipster queen?
There's no such thing. Wait, how does he know this person?
She DM'd him, I guess.
She DM'd him. They've been messaging. He wants to ask her out.
Yeah. Should I do it in person? How the hell are you going to ask her out in person?
Yeah, you don't have to do it in person. She's online flirting with you. I think you definitely don't have to do it in person.
Text her.
Well, not now. Wait till we're done isolating. But yeah, after that.
Yeah. Again, this email is 7 years old, but I'll reach out and be like, "Hey, I think you should text her." yeah, we're married with 3 kids by now. Awesome.
That'd be awesome. Let us know
how it goes.
I guess you're welcome.
Sorry for the delay. Let us know what happens and we'll get back to you in 2027.
Wow. Yeah. I think that you definitely text. We're past the point where we're asking someone out has to be done in person. Or like, you know, there was like that debate, like, oh yeah, like he asked me out, but it was over text. Do you remember that?
Yeah, back in the day when texting wasn't basically the equivalent of speaking to someone.
Yeah, I also remember being like reading Tinder messages and people being like sort of weirded out that they were going to meet someone from online. And now that's like just so normal.
Yeah. I have an insane update for you. Absolutely epic slash savage.
What happened? Did you email one of these people and they already responded?
No, but I finally searched Ember, which we didn't search. And it's one unread email from 2014.
I hate. Good Lord. I can't believe we didn't search that one.
I would have assumed something was broken with our Gmail, or I was searching by emails from 2014 that haven't been read. Like, it's literally all emails from 2014, one of them, and then never since, all unread. But Ember comes up because
that's...
Well, I'll read this email because it was a... It's a cat name, basically.
Oh, interesting. I really felt like Ember was going to yield more results. God damn, that's awesome. All right, tell me.
Lizette writes... This summer, I have been volunteering at my city's local animal shelter. In other words, I'm spending all of my free time playing with a bunch of kittens, and there's this one little tuxedo cat who is literally my soul kitten. I need this kitten. I even named him. He's got a little white diamond on his head, so I named him Neil. That's right, but I have a problem. I already have a cat that we adopted 8 years ago, and my dad is pretty strict about not getting another pet. I don't understand why. If he's afraid of the commitment of having another animal around for 10 years, then he shouldn't worry because I'll be graduated from college in 3 years and I'll be taking the cats with me when I move out. He said that his current cat, Ember, will flip out if we get a new cat.
Mm.
But I've read that if you get a younger cat of the opposite gender, your current cat will adjust much faster. Apparently, if you have a female cat and bring home a young kitten, the cat will usually mother the kitten. So... Here's what my friend and I are thinking. Since I can't persuade my dad to let us adopt another cat, I'm going to just adopt the kitten behind my parents' back. My mom will totally love a new kitten. She's just saying no because of my dad. So my question is, what do you think I should do once I get the cat? Should I make up some story about how nobody wanted this kitten and they were going to euthanize it if I didn't take it? Should I tell them to stop being asses and let me keep the damn kitten since I'll be moving out in just a couple of years? You don't understand. I seriously need this kitten. What should I tell them so that I can keep this beautiful kitten? Thank you for the help. She needs the kitten.
Yeah, you need the kitten. It's so funny to be like, why are you upset? I'm going to be moving out in a couple of years.
It's only 3 years.
You'll only have something. You'll only have a pet you don't want for a couple of years. God, that's such a long time.
Have you ever lived with a cat? I've never lived with a cat.
Yeah, when I was a kid, we had like 7 cats at one time.
Jesus. Yeah, they seem like hamsters, just not in a cage. Like, you don't have to do much to a cat, right?
I feel like if you already have one cat, another cat really doesn't, like, up the ante that much. Like,
yeah.
You're already cleaning out a litter box. You're already putting out cat food. You've got cat fur on your stuff. So it's not like... I can imagine a resistance from going no cat or to cat, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm saying she should. I'm pro her getting the cat, and I think she should lie, say that it was going to be euthanized. She rescued the cat. Then she's a little bit of a hero in her parents' eyes.
It's literally her save the cat moment.
Yeah. Exactly. What do you think?
Yeah. I feel like you can hide the cat in your room specifically, right? Like cats, they almost like to be enclosed, right? You're not supposed to take a cat outside. If you just keep her in the room, weeks can go by before your parents even find out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are outdoor cats, but I get your point, and I think that could definitely work. I feel like I did something like that when I was a kid. I feel like that's definitely like a sitcom thing where like kids hide the animals from their parents.
Yeah. And then it's like, wait a minute, what is this kitten?
Yeah. But I fell in love with it. I can't return it now. Well, again, definitely... Email her. I want to find out. I want to see a photo of this cat. I feel like she took the cat.
Yeah, took the cat. And now she's 3 years into college with the cat. She's a senior in college.
Let's see it.
What if I email her and the cat writes back?
You think Neil would write back?
Hey, this is the cat. I heard what you said about the euthanized shit. You think it's funny to joke about my demise? I know I was just a kitten, but now I'm a fully formed adult male cat.
And I'm going to kick your ass, Blumenfeld.
Did I ever tell you the story about how I choked on a cat's tail once?
No.
It looks like we're out of time. I'll save it for
how did
day.
You?
I thought it was, it would like
cat's it got, tail in your mouth.
It got like wrapped up with something else that I was like, somebody did like a cat's tail was a hot dog and gave it to me. In high school, I was like, I was kind of like treated like, not a hero. What's the opposite?
A fucking scoundrel.
Yeah. So they would like, take cats and like sort of use them to troll me in a way. And I ended up.
You were so unpopular that they would try to trick you into eating cat's tails. Where did you go to high school?
No, I was saying that we ran out of time, so I can't like get into it too much.
You got into it pretty deep. Like you said that you were treated badly in high school, then the kids tricked you into eating cats. That's, I don't know what else we need to learn.
I don't want that to be the takeaway here.
I don't know how it couldn't be. It didn't your principal ever try to stop? What did he what did he say to those kids?
Well, he was eating like a microwave dinner, so like he was looking down and I was like eating. I was like, oh, that's funny. But I think I said it to myself, this is like a fuzzy hot dog or something like that, and I ended up eating most of it, but like by the time I got to the base of it, I had to like, that's like where the,
so you did devour a cat. Yeah. Okay. So you're a cattable. You like that?
That's good. Like a cannibal, but for a cat.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And you think that's golden mic worthy, but none of my bits were.
You fucking tortured a cat as a teen. Yeah. You get a turdy for that.
You get a turdy for cat.
Nice. If I didn't already take the golden mic, you would have gotten one for that pun this week. That was, but you really said good. You can, that was quick.
You can give away two, right?
I can get two. You can get two in a... Once you've got one, you can be showered with them, but you can't have a dual golden mic. You can have multiple turdies, and you'll actually get a second turdy for not knowing the fucking rules. Another two turdy episode for Blumenfeld.
And for you?
I only got the one golden mic, but I only really needed the one golden mic. And I think that me being so humble in that regard almost is golden mic worthy, but I won't give myself a second golden mic. Not so late in the game. And that's actually double the humble for that. For that double humble. Double humble is a golden mic, so I'm going to take two, but I'm going to be humble about it. And it's not a big deal. I'm honored. It's not what it's about, but it means a lot. It's everything, but it's not why I do it. This happens. It's a byproduct of me leaving it all out there on the field when it comes to this podcast, doing it for the love of the cast. And I appreciate the golden mics. I appreciate the fans.
Who are you talking to? You gave yourself the award for being humble. Who are you fucking thanking right now?
I didn't give myself an award for being humble. I did it for being double humble. Double humble. I refused the word. I refused the award twice.
No, you didn't. You accepted two.
I accepted the first one because you have to award one. The second one I didn't want because I wasn't going to take it just for being humble. And then I was going to take it, but I was like, it's too late in the game. It's too late to award right, a second golden mic. Right. And I feel like me honoring that rule so hard after refusing it the first time, that was double mic worthy. Golden mic worthy. Excuse me.
You're dumble. You're double humble.
Yeah, dumble. That's a good pun. I would honestly give you a golden mic for that if it wasn't so late in the game. You can't have a mic, a golden mic awarded this late. This late in the show?
You just gave yourself a second one this late in the game for not accepting it, which is like a fucking
Well, that
paradox.
Was like 2 minutes ago. That was like 2 minutes ago. It was late in the game, but it wasn't like under the wire. Plus, you already have two turdies this episode, so you can't get the golden mic.
So take one of the turdies away.
I don't think that you can do that.
You're fucking, what are you talking about? You're literally making up the rules as you talk, and you're saying, I don't think you can do it. You don't have to think, you just have to say it.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can eliminate a turdy. But even if we did at this stage, you'd still have a turdy staining your name for this episode. So I just don't know what it buys you, and I don't think it's worth changing the rules for it. That's
sweet.
All
right. Thank you.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks. That was pretty gracious of you. I'd give you a golden mic if they were.
Yeah, if it wasn't too late in the game, I know.
If it wasn't too late in the game to have been awarded, you already have two turdies, yada, yada, yada. You already know.
Yes, I do already know.
All right.
You prick. The opening theme song was written by Zach, that Blink-182 cover, of course. And this closing one is written by Trey. He's a big fan, and my brother Trey showed it to me 3 years ago, and he wanted to submit a song. This is Lucas Piscatelli.
Okay.
My artist name is Lucas, but spelled with that A that's attached to an E. What are those?
It's like a Gaelic thing, right?
Yeah, so Lucas, but it's like L-U-K-A-E-S.
Lucas.
Yeah, or his Instagram, Lou Piscatelli. So thanks to Lucas, thanks to Zach, thanks to you guys for listening. Keep sending emails and theme songs to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Keep staying inside. Yeah. Keep staying quarantined. Mm-hmm. Wash your hands. That's, be healthy. Be right. Happy.
That's right.
And start dancing. We have more If I Were You on our Patreon. Patreon.com/JA.
Every Thursday.
That's right. See y'all next week.
Later.
Yeah, I've been run down. I've been run down 2 weeks. Shit. I've been run down 2 weeks.
Rick, watch out. You're a microscopic fleck of dirt, dude. You're awful. You're an awful, ugly person.
I done looked back too many times. I done scratched out too many rhymes. I done looked back too many times. I done looked back too many. Now I am. I think I've been so fucking done, Now I've finished with them once, Tell them once, Tell them once. Now I am the one. And I am the one.
You break my life with sense. Give me joy with.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.